This is OSLCC Chapter 25, Tracing Our Roots, celebrating 25 years of cultural centers. Broncos, some near, some far, but no matter where you are, we're speaking to you and we hope you're listening. And you never know, we might even be engaging with you real soon.
Hey everyone, this is Wendy, she, hers, the Cesar E. Chavez Center coordinator. In today's episode, we're going to take a deep dive into Dia de los Muertos, as well as dialoguing about what it was like in the 70s as a Chicano. Who do we have here today?
Hello, this is Gilbert Cadena, professor in the Department of Ethnic and Women's Studies. How are you?
I'm doing just well today, Dr. Cadena. As we get started, can you share with our audience a little bit about yourself and your connection to Cal Poly Pomona, past and present?
Sure. I have a long history at Cal Poly Pomona. First, I was a student there in the 1970s, from 1975 to 1979. Then I returned to Cal Poly as a faculty member in 1995, 25 years ago, and I became the chair of ethnic studies. Now, after teaching for 25 years, I have formally retired from my full-time appointment as professor, and now I'm teaching part-time as a faculty emeritus.
Wow, that's quite a bit of history. And I'm really interested in asking you more about what it was like as a Chicano student during the late 70s.
In the 1970s, Cal Poly Pomona was a much smaller campus. It was primarily white students, and Chicanos, African Americans, Asian Americans, and Native Americans were really a small minority. So in many ways, we had to stick together and align with each other to have a positive presence. I felt that Cal Poly then was a strong agricultural school rather than a Los Angeles suburban campus. And so for me, the safe spaces were EOP and ethnic studies. However, both of them were in ugly green trailers behind Building 5. So it really showed you how the university thought of students of color. It wasn't until after I left that EOP went into the new building, Building 94, along with ethnic studies. And ethnic studies was good, but it had a very small faculty with mainly lecturers. So we took ethnic studies classes, but we were really critical of very few faculty and the resources and spaces there. EOP was very good because many of us worked in EOP, and some of us were EOP students, and it provided for sustained friendships and collaborative partnerships with Chicano, African-American, women, and progressive white students and staff. So I became a counselor and editor of the newsletter. And later I was part of the first summer program for EOP students that later became Summer Bridge. My good friend, the famous Hilda Solis, now LA County Supervisor, also worked in EOP as a recruiter. We were all aware of the student movements that was happening throughout the United States, and we wanted to be part of the Chicano movement in particular. So as soon as I got here, my first quarter, I became a MECHA member, and later I joined MASA. And both organizations were very important because they provided a vehicle to organize, to develop conferences, retreats, bring speakers to campuses, promote the annual Cinco de Mayo, have dances, parties, and political organizing. And we learned that we needed to create coalitions among students on campus, but also I worked with students off campus with the MECHA Central, and I worked with students from the Claremont Colleges, the University of Laverne, Mount SAC, Citrus College, Rio Hondo, and Chaffee College. In that time, there was no cultural center, so we didn't have the space to do a lot of the many things that are happening now and that we're really proud of doing. So we had to do it as students on our own.
What do you believe is the significance of Cal Poly Pomona establishing the cultural centers?
I think the establishment of the cultural and gender centers reflect the historical power of students and the pressure that social change has on its institutions. And I appreciate the Cal Poly Pomona model as distinct cultural and gender centers working in collaboration with each other. The establishment of the cultural centers also provided the necessary institutionalization of programs that impact students of color. And while these programs focused on students, I feel they also impacted faculty like myself, as well as staff on campus. Other universities have created a multicultural center model with one central unit, but I feel that the Cal Poly Pomona model is stronger overall. Finally, I think since Cal Poly Pomona is a HSI and the majority of its students are students of color, the cultural and gender centers play an important role in student life, particularly, and unfortunately, since the faculty do not represent the students of color on campus.
You bring up an interesting point. We recognize that many of our faculty do not represent our student body. However, you've managed to organize alongside the Chavez Center staff and community. How have you viewed your role?
As an ethnic and women's studies faculty member, I am committed to a pedagogy of active learning, experiential learning, and critical learning, which means the Chavez Center and the other cultural and gender centers have been very important for what I've done in the classroom. Unfortunately, EWS does not have a large faculty compared to other ethnic studies departments in the CSU. So it's been really important for those of us in ethnic and women's studies to collaborate and to be allies with the cultural centers on our programming that helps both the centers and our department. And so I can remember some of my best experiences have been my collaborations with the Chavez Center. For example, I organized 3 alternative spring breaks to the National Chavez Center in Keene City, where we got to learn about the life of Cesar Chavez. We stayed there for 3 or 4 days. And it was a collaboration between the Chavez Center that helped organize it, and then students in my class who got credit for it. And for all of us who participated in it, it was just a profound experience. And later, and as you know, the annual Day of the Dead celebration is another example where my classes have been enhanced by my collaboration with the Chavez Center.
Speaking of Dia de los Muertos, can you share with us how it came to be at Cal Poly Pomona, as well as what were some of the early intentions for this program?
Well, the first week I began teaching at Cal Poly Pomona, I walked into the Cesar Chavez Center to introduce myself to Ernesto Rodriguez, the new coordinator of the Chavez Center. I asked him if Cal Poly Pomona celebrates Day of the Dead, and he thought for a second, and then he said, "We do now." And at that point, we began to organize our first Day of the Dead at Cal Poly Pomona. I had brought my experiences of learning about Day of the Dead from Self-Help Graphics, a art cultural institution at East LA. I helped with the Day of the Dead at UCLA out of the Catholic Newman Center and the Chicano Studies Center. And then when I taught at the Claremont Colleges, I began to organize Day of the Dead out of my classes. And so I had some experience of how to do it. And I was really excited to share my experiences with the new Chavez Center. And Ernesto was excited about bringing some new traditions and new events to the campus. So it just seemed like that was like the great thing to do at that time. And so what we did was we started very modestly. I was teaching my first Chicano Studies class, the Chicano Latino Experience course. And so then I asked who wanted to work on the Day of the Dead. And I divided my class up into task groups. And so I had about 6 to 8 students that would meet at the Chavez Center once a week with Ernesto and interested students from the Chavez Center. And we organized our first one on November 2nd, 1995. And in fact, we organized 2 events that day, one at noon in front of the student center and another in the evening in the quad area. We began with one large community altar, and then we asked students and faculty and staff, as well as families, to bring their photographs and offerings to the altar. And we had music and folklorico and stories, poetry. We shared pan dulce together. And then we got in a large circle and sang De Colores at the very end. And finally, we had food as a way to share a meal with our dead, our ancestors, and our loved ones. For a few years, we just had 2 large altars, one by the Chavez Center and another by my EWS class. And later, we opened it up to the cultural and gender centers. And then finally, we added clubs and organizations and sometimes community partners, and eventually classes from EWS all participated. Overall, it was an attempt to create a positive cultural tradition at Cal Poly. We were well aware of Cinco de Mayo that was now being co-opted by beer commercials and bars and drinking. So we wanted to bring something new and something that we can create in a good way.
I must say that coming to Cal Poly Pomona and seeing Dia de los Muertos
come to life. It's just a tradition that has been established over time. In retrospect, what do you believe is the significance for Dia de los Muertos here at Cal Poly Pomona?
I like to think about Day of the Dead as more like Días de los Muertos, or Days of the Dead, because really, as you mentioned, it's a process of preparing for the altar, which takes all the months of September or October for the November day. I believe Cal Poly has created a cultural significant model of how to organize a Day of the Dead celebration at a public institution. The model has sustained itself for 25 years by empowering each cohort, the students affiliated with the Chavez Center, as well as students in our classes and student organizations, the cultural and gender resource centers, as well as a broad sector of the campus to be part of this annual event. While we began with the Chavez Center and the Chicano Studies class, it soon developed into a multi-ethnic celebration through the altars, through the student groups, the music and entertainment, and the poets. I think that's what makes Cal Poly Pomona's Day of the Dead very significant, that we're open to all groups on campus and that all groups can share their own experiences and their own traditions to our event. You know, I see the Day of the Dead as an example of experiential pedagogy and community building. Faculty and students are impacting the community by developing coalitions with local colleges and high schools and our community-based partners. They have come to the event and they also learn from our event, and then they go back and share with their respective institutions. So we've had students here who became high school teachers or elementary school teachers now go back to their campuses and have Day of the Dead events there. It's also a time to create allies. So we've developed a lot of campus partnerships and, as I said, community partnerships that will help us and support us in other activities throughout the year. It's also an example of political mobilizing. For example, every year people make altars to reflect the issues of the day: immigration rights, student struggles, community issues. Right now we could talk about the COVID crisis and the impact it's had on families of color. Structural violence, gang violence or police violence. And all these issues are represented in the altars, and they all tell a story, and we can share what we know to each other.
To end our time together, what are your hopes for the cultural center? And what do you believe is the legacies of the cultural centers? What's one word that describes our center, the Cesar E. Chavez Center for Higher Education?
I think the cultural centers need to just continue the profound and necessary work that each of the cultural and gender centers offer our students and faculty and staff, that you need to continue to respond to the issues, conflicts, tensions that students face on campus and in society, and then to continue to build the relationships and allow for strategies of change and model how to collaborate with each other and how to co-educate our students and create spaces of celebration like the Day of the Dead or our cultural graduations. All of that is so important and it must be continued. What's the one word that describes the Chavez Center? Well, that's a hard one, but let me just say consciousness. And for me, it's like when students or faculty or staff participate in any of the Chavez's center's activities or events, I think it heightens their consciousness, their cultural consciousness or gender consciousness or class consciousness or multi-ethnic and racial consciousness. And with that consciousness, I believe it leads to action. And then there's some reflection on that action. And then it revises our consciousness. And so I really think that it's so empowering to have the Chavez Center here, but it's important to have the center to provide the space necessary at Cal Poly Pomona. Thank you.
And with that, I wondered, should I say bye?